Well, God's unusual characters become the real important people in the history of Israel. As the unusual characters get put to use in amazing ways for God's purposes. We're talking about Joseph today. I'm not going to recap everything that we've gone through already. We're still in the story of Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, Israel. Joseph was in the prison, which was under the control of his former master, the Egyptian Potiphar. And of course, Joseph was running the place. Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker got thrown in jail for some offense against Pharaoh, and they had dreams Joseph interpreted that came true. Well, the baker lost his head over the matter, but the cupbearer was again serving Pharaoh to make sure he wasn't going to be poisoned. But the cupbearer left Joseph behind in prison. And so then there were Pharaoh's dreams. Most of us who grew up with Sunday school or read Bible storybooks remember something about these dreams. The baker and the cupbearer had dreams that came true. Egyptians were pretty sure that dreams meant something, and usually something bad. So when, I think I've lost control, Andrea. So when the Pharaoh was dreaming, it could be real trouble. And the Pharaoh had two dreams in one night. Now, the first dream was a rather disturbing dream about the cows. And we have that in Genesis 41, 1-4. At the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile when seven healthy-looking, well-fed cows came up from the Nile and began to graze among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, sickly and thin, came up from the Nile and stood beside those cows along the bank of the Nile. The sickly thin cows ate the healthy, well-fed cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. Well, verse one is that note about Joseph being forgotten by the cupbearer, as he spent another 2 years in the prison running the affairs of the prison as a prisoner, like he had run the affairs of his master as a slave. Then the Pharaoh's dream about the cows, fat ones getting eaten up by the starving ones and not looking much better for it. It was a bad dream, and Pharaoh woke up, but the night was young. That wasn't all there would be. And Pharaoh fell back asleep and had a second dream about the grain. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time. Seven heads of grain, plump and good, came up on one stalk. After them, seven heads of grain, thin and scorched by the east wind. Scorched by the east wind, they sprouted up. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven plump, full ones. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it was only a dream. Except there's really no only a dream when it was the Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh is troubled by his dreams. Now, if Pharaoh's troubled, it's trouble for everyone. Here's the record in Genesis 41:8. When morning came, he was troubled. So he summoned all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told him his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Well, right now, nothing was helping. Pharaoh was upset. The magi couldn't help. The sages couldn't help. I expect not even the priests could help. Pharaoh told him his dreams, but no one could interpret them. And that's when it suddenly dawns on the one that Joseph had already helped as Pharaoh's cupbearer remembers his time in prison, and the Hebrew who told him the answer to his own dream. So emboldened by Pharaoh's dis-ease, the lack of answers he was getting from his advisors, he speaks up in Genesis 41:9-11. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I remember my faults." Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me and the chief baker in the custody of the captain of the guards. He and I had dreams on the same night. Each dream had its own meaning. Now, a young Hebrew, a slave of the captain of the guards, was with us there. We told him our dreams. He interpreted our dreams for us, and each had its own interpretation. It turned out just the way he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. Well, finally, Joseph is remembered. And here's news that Pharaoh could use. We told him our dreams, he interpreted our dreams, and it turned out just the way he said. This is what Pharaoh was looking for. And so the cupbearer to the king says, "And that's why I'm standing here next to you now," pretty much. So Pharaoh calls in Joseph, because right now, with no answers coming from his staff, he wanted to call in an outside consultant to see if that would help. Anything was going to be better than nothing right now. And right now, Joseph was the anything that Pharaoh was willing to try. Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and they quickly brought him from the dungeon. He shaved, changed his clothes, and went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it." "I am not able to," Joseph answered Pharaoh. I think Pharaoh's heart beat a little faster right now for a moment. It's God who will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. A little sigh of relief from the king of Egypt. Now, Joseph having a shave was a little more than we might think. He wasn't just getting cleaned up. He was getting groomed to be fit to be an advisor to Pharaoh in the way an Egyptian would be. As a Hebrew, Joseph probably never shaved, but in the court of the Pharaoh, everyone shaved. And only Pharaoh had his little golden beard that was part of his station of office. He was getting groomed to be in Pharaoh's court. Now, of course, Joseph would have been wearing some kind of prison jumpsuit that hadn't been washed in ages. So now he got back some nice clothes. And then Joseph hears the dreams. Pharaoh had been troubled by these dreams, and he called everybody. No one could help. He finally calls in Joseph at the advice of his cupbearer. And so then in verse 17, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile when seven well-fed, healthy-looking cows came up from the Nile and grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, weak, very sickly and thin, came up. I've never seen such sickly ones as these in all the land of Egypt." Then the thin cows ate the first seven well-fed cows, and when they had devoured them, you could not tell that they had devoured them. Their appearance was as bad as it had been before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I also saw seven heads of grain, full and good, coming up on one stalk, and after them, seven heads of grain, withered, thin, scorched by the east wind, sprouted up. The thin heads of grain swallowed the seven good ones. I told this to the magicians, but no one can tell me what it means. And there's the problem. Clearly, this was bad dream night for Pharaoh. Clearly, this would become bad dream week for the rest of his court if something didn't happen with this interpretation. But that's when Joseph was able to share God's meanings. And here we have part of the transition of Joseph from being a headstrong 17-year-old who was trying to run the affairs of his brothers to being someone who finally said, I don't have it in me. But God knows what we need to find out. And so through God, Joseph got this meaning. And it shows up in verses 25 to 27. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams mean the same thing. The seven thin, sickly cows that came up after them are 7 years. The seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind are 7 years of famine. Well, so far the news isn't real good. You have the good years, but 7 years of famine? In these days, we have freezers and we have trucks and we have ways to move food around. Our droughts are things that don't cause famine in our United States, but they do cause famine in the rest of the world when these things happen. And we've seen records of that over the years that we have lived. But here in Egypt, this was going to be bad news. And so Joseph goes on. It's just as I told Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. Okay, there's the good news. After them, 7 years of famine will take place, and all the abundance in the land of Egypt will be forgotten. There's the bad news. The famine will devastate the land. Right now, Pharaoh's really glad he brought in Joseph, right? Well, but things come up. The abundance of the land will not be remembered because of the famine that follows it, for the famine will be very severe. Since the dream was given twice to Pharaoh, it means the matter has been determined by God. He will carry it out soon. Okay, well, the cupbearer said that Joseph was going to give Pharaoh a favorable answer, right? Well, no, what he really meant was Joseph, the son of Jacob, would give Pharaoh a true answer. But then here's comes the good news. Joseph provides a plan of action. So now Joseph says in verse 33 and following, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint overseers over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Let them gather all the excess food during these good years that are coming. Under Pharaoh's authority, store the grain in the cities so that they may preserve it as food. The food will be a reserve for the land during the 7 years of famine that will take place in the land of Egypt. Then the country will not be wiped out by the famine. Well, see, the suggestions that Joseph was making here was actually saying, let Pharaoh receive a double tithe of the produce of the land. See, it wasn't as complicated in Joseph's mind as it was in Pharaoh's mind, but it turned out to be such a perfect plan, and the abundance could be gathered. No one in Egypt would go hungry during the years of plenty. No one would feel that their life was being strangled out of them by a steady flow of tithe-based taxes, and it would end up providing what was needed. And so Joseph is made by Pharaoh his prime manager. Pharaoh was making Joseph what the English nobles used to call a viceroy, yet with a broader command of all of Egypt. Pharaoh was so taken with Joseph, as were his other counselors and aides, that Joseph was almost immediately appointed to the highest post that the Pharaoh could design. And here's the way it reads in Genesis 37 to 40. The proposal pleased